and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. First of all, I just want to apologise if you hear a pigeon at any point during the podcast.
Pigeon?
Yes.
Well, I know we're having a guest on this week, but are we scraping the barrel that much?
There's a really loud pigeon, presumably on the chimney pot of my house, and where I'm set up is not far from the fireplace, and it's making a lot of noise that's coming down the chimney. So if you hear a pigeon at any point in the podcast, it's, you know, it's not anything to worry about.
Okay, good
it's
to know.
Just the pigeon on my roof making a hell of a racket. Like, it's absolutely mental it's been going.
I know it's quite pleasant weather as we're recording, but have you considered lighting a fire?
I'm not lighting a fire.
That'll shift
thing.
It.
I don't need it shifted.
Do you know what I mean? It's going to interrupt the podcast.
Well, it's the sounds of nature, Ben. You know, we're into June, we're into the summer months. I tell you what happened bird-wise the other day. That was exciting.
Oh, wow. What a riveting podcast.
No, this was exciting.
Go on.
I'm at my front door, and opposite my house are a couple of bungalows, right? And one of them has got a big sort of bush thing in their front garden.
Yeah.
And there was all this racket going on, all this bird going absolutely apeshit. There was a magpie up on a roof that was going apeshit as well. I mean, it was all kicking off, right?
Right, okay.
So I looked over and I saw a bird of prey in the middle of Thornton Heath. A bird of prey swoop down towards the bush. And then this, I guess it was a sparrow. It was a smallish bird, flew out the bush. And this bird of prey swooped up and chased the sparrow. I don't know if it caught it. But oh, it was just so very exciting. I felt like David Attenborough.
What, like a hawk or something?
It might have been a sparrowhawk. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think that there were any other animals that were, besides maybe the praying mantis, I didn't know there were any other animals that were, what's the word?
Predators?
No, what's the word when you eat your own species?
Cannibals.
Cannibals, that's it.
No, I mean birds. Birds of prey, like a sparrowhawk, would eat a sparrow, hence its name. So...
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it was very, very exciting. Bastards. I mean, there was a bit of me that thought, I hope the sparrow got away. And then on the other hand, I thought, well, you know, the sparrowhawk's got to eat, isn't it?
Yeah, so, it does, yeah.
You know, it's that, because I've got a lot of sparrows in my garden at the moment. Actually, I mean, lockdown has created sort of all sorts of new hobbies. One of them is just having to look out every now and again. Ooh, sparrows, you know.
So you've become a twitcher.
I've been, a little bit, you know. I can recognise certain bird calls.
This is tragic, isn't it?
The magpie is my favourite. There was a magpie the other day going absolutely nuts.
So why was the magpie going nuts? Was it the sight of the sparrow?
Yeah, well, presumably it's a terrifying sight for all birds. You know, they must be, because presumably at this time of year they've got young about. So I'm sure even a young magpie might be prey to a sparrowhawk. So, you know, mummy magpie on the roof. They make that weird sort of, it's almost like a laugh, isn't it, a magpie?
Yeah.
It's a very difficult noise to make. I'm not even going to attempt it, but
good. Thank
but,
you.
Yeah, so that was my excitement, bird-wise.
Right.
Sort of week I've had. How's your week?
My week has been interesting. I've finally managed to order some of those coronavirus mask things, not like the official ones for the NHS, just off Amazon.
Right.
But I did something which was, I left the house.
Yeah.
And I had the mask on because I was going to the supermarket.
Yeah.
And then I got into the car, still wearing the mask, and then started driving to the shop. And it hadn't occurred to me that, oh my God, I've become one of those pillocks that are wearing their mask inside the car. Now, you must have seen a lot of these people being mocked quite a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, look at these idiots wearing their masks in their car. They think they're going to get coronavirus in their car. Idiots.
Yes. But you've become one of them.
I have, but it was completely by accident. And it got me thinking... That person who thinks they're getting coronavirus from their car or inside their car, that person doesn't exist. They are either forgetful males,
yeah,
or stupid males like me who haven't, you know, twigged that they don't need it on in the car, or they're very cautious people. And I can explain why. By the way, when I came out of the supermarket, I forgot I was wearing the mask and got back in the car and drove off in it again.
So did you have the mask on from the moment you left your house to the moment you got back in your house? There wasn't a moment at any point where you came up for breath?
No, I did whip it down in the car, so I had a sort of lovely chin strap.
Oh, yeah. That's a good look.
Only because I didn't want to be mocked for being one of those perceived stupid people.
But you'd already done that. It was too late.
I'd done it twice. I was a double pillock. So the reason I think people do it is A, they're forgetful, or B, they're actually cautious because it's much more hygienic and safe to not constantly touch your face mask up, yeah, down, up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not idiots. They're very cautious, clever, sensible people. So I think I've come to the conclusion that those are the two options that exist. You're either forgetful or you're cautious. And I don't think the idiots who wear their corona masks in the car to protect themselves, I don't think that person exists at all.
I think you've just invented this thing to make yourself not look an idiot. Can I ask you a question about your mask wearing?
Yes, go ahead.
Because I got a mask. I bought, again, it's not just like a disposable one. It's one that's a fabric one that's supposedly washable. So I wear that when I go to the shop.
Right.
Now, are you finding a couple of things with your mask? Right, so one for me, I find I get very very breathless wearing it.
Well, you won't have this problem, but breath is an issue because as a glasses wearer, when I need to read something off my phone, all the heat from my breath is channeled directly up into my eyes and my glasses steam up immediately.
Right, well, that's a look in it as well. But yeah. I walked around the shop the other day, and by the time I got back, I mean, it was like I was some sort of sex pest walking along the street. Honestly, I was heavy breathing. I realised then that I had both my mouth and nose covered, which I think you're supposed to do, but
That's the idea.
Yeah, but I don't find that. I can't breathe very well. I've got a feeling the mask I've bought might be too thick.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I'm struggling a little bit. And then the other thing is, I got I don't know. I took it out of the packet. It was all new and everything, but it sort of had a bit of a dusty smell about it.
Ooh.
So also when I'm breathing, I've got like this dusty smell. So then I always want to sort of sneeze a little bit. And you don't want to be seen walking along sneezing at the moment.
I must admit, mine did make my nose run a little bit.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, the whole mark. We're not used to wearing them.
No, I think that, again, that's all that hot breath going straight up the nostrils, sort of cleansing your nasal canal, if that's a thing, and then just sort of making it all moist. And I'm sorry, I'm being a bit disgusting now.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Dr. Harmer.
And one perk I've noticed, though, is that I've had a touch of lockdown laziness this week, and I haven't been bothered to go and shave.
Okay.
And it's the great equaliser. I can go out looking like, you know, the most dishevelled person you've ever seen, and no one knows. It's the beauty of the face mask.
I know. It is the beauty. The only thing I'm beginning to wish is that it would sort of cover, because my hair, it's getting very long now. Like, it's 6 months since any kind of cut took place, right?
Wow.
So it goes very curly. And it's very hard to do anything with. And I went to the shop the other day, and even the man behind the counter had a laugh at me about my hair.
It's not very nice.
I thought, what do you want me to do? I can't, you know, people are getting their own little, you know, what do you call them?
Clippers
for home. My brother asked me recently, would I do his hair? No fucking way. I'm not taking that risk. I'm not doing
how
somebody
severe
else's
would you go?
Hair.
Would you go number one all over yourself?
No, I couldn't do it. I don't like the number one. I think you look brutish.
Well, that's what I've been considering recently.
Really? You've been thinking about a number one? Yeah, I mean, you might get away with it. I would look like, I'd look like Bluto out of, I don't know if he had a number one cut. I just assume he did. So I don't think that's going to be for me. So I think I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to grow it and see what happens. And, you know, if you've got a problem with it, tough shit. You know, it's hair. What do you want me to do with it?
Well, yeah, it's a very fair point.
Right, Ben, let's welcome an old friend to the Trev and Ben podcast.
Not
from
the pigeon.
The pigeon is still there. He's cooing away in his own happy way. It's our old mate from the radio. It's Matt Rockley. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Trev. Hello, Ben.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm not bad, thank you. I've been really excited about being on your podcast, so thanks very much for having me.
Well, it's good to have you, because basically what we've been doing is we just get all our mates on, really.
Great know? Idea.
Yeah, it's just like, let's just get, it's a way of hanging out, especially during lockdown.
Well, that's it. Mates. Everyone's just at home at the moment, and, you know, not much going on, particularly at the weekend. So, yeah, it's perfect.
have you found lockdown?
It's been a bit of a weird one for me because I work from home anyway in the job that I'm doing at the moment. So it was just kind of business as usual. In some ways, I'm kind of always living in isolation. so it was kind of like just an extension of that, but not going anywhere at the weekend and all that kind of stuff. And then about a month ago, I was put on furlough. So I'm kind of not really doing anything at all at the moment. But it's given me a chance to work for all those jobs that you never get done. You know, like painting the bathroom door as well.
You've actually done them?
I've not done it. No.
Oh.
I've written a list and it's up there. But no, I've just been watching Netflix pretty much.
You know, all the things that I was going to do during the lockdown, and I've got so many half done jobs around the house, and then you just get to, well, I can't be fucked anymore. Leave it.
Fuck it. I'll do it next week.
I've
got this list that's saying, like, to do, and I've actually got like the date on the top to do this week, almost like I'm at work. So I'm trying to keep
really
in that
organized mindset.
I know I'm trying to keep in that mindset, but all I do is I just don't do any of it, and then just copy and paste it and put the next week's date on the top.
Yeah, wait for the second wave.
Yeah, fuck 'em.
I had so many big plans myself. I was going to learn another language. I was going to Adobe Audition.
You were never going to learn another language.
My head, I was.
I mean, we had a conversation. This never came up. Well, what language were you going to learn?
I was going to resume my Spanish.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
With that Duolingo.
But were you just learning like a word a day anyway?
No, it wasn't a word a day, you cheeky shit.
Have you used Babbel? There's an app called Babbel or Babel. I don't know how you pronounce it. It might be Babel. I doubt it. It's
Babbel's better though, isn't it?
Babel. Yeah.
It's much. Yeah, Babel sounds biblical.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I didn't want to go down that path. It is a Sunday after all.
Learn a Bible passage a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, become a new man, Ben.
Yeah, be born again.
Yeah.
I'll come out after lockdown as a Spanish vicar.
A padre.
Padre Ben. Or yeah. Probably actually the Spanish version of Ben. I don't know what that is.
Benjamin.
Probably.
I don't know. So you never learnt language?
No, I never got around to it. I should be doing something productive, but I just can't be bothered.
Yeah, I think we all entered lockdown with great enthusiasm. And over the weeks it's sort of, oh god, another week of, but on the other hand, I don't want to go out. It's that weird mix of I want it all to end, but I don't really want to go out.
Well, it's nice to have the option, isn't it? I like to think, well, actually, I'd like to have the option of going and sit in a pub garden or go and have a look around TK Maxx or whatever it is, whatever it might be. But, you know, I'm like you, Trev, I'm quite happy just to stay put, really.
And we've mentioned this earlier on in the podcast. Are you a face mask wearer?
Not until I absolutely have to. And that sounds awful, I know. But, I mean, in the fact that I'm not going to wear them around the house. So until I've got to go on public transport, then I have to wear one. But no, I've not actually been wearing one.
No, I haven't been for a long time. I've only recently adopted them.
Yeah, and how are you finding it?
I was saying to Trev earlier on, it's got its perks and it's got its drawbacks, but overall it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I find that they make me breathless. It's like I'm heavy breathing around the supermarket.
That's not good.
Well, I mean, the good thing is people stay away from me. It's a great way of enforcing the social distancing rules, because if you're walking around going, no one comes near you.
Well, I kind of tried it out with a t-shirt, because the government's advice is to, oh, just make it out of a t-shirt. What could possibly go wrong? But I tried to just put a t-shirt over my nose and mouth, and I found, like, I was a bit breathless, and it's weird breathing in your own kind of hot air that you're breathing out. That can't be good, breathing in carbon.
Well, no, I mean, I'm worried I'd get the bends.
Put in one of those chambers.
When you said you were trying it out with a t-shirt, what I pictured when you first said that was you were pulling your t-shirt that you were wearing up over your nose.
Oh, that's exactly.
Yeah, oh, it was.
Oh, well, you weren't cutting out and sort of, you know.
No. I'm doing it now, actually. I've literally just pulled it over my nose. Like a what were you going to say, Ben?
Like a schoolboy who smells a fart.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
Is this really what the government were saying? Just put your T-shirt over your mouth? I missed that bit.
Well, no, they were saying make them out of an old T-shirt. That's fine. Yeah.
I saw you could make it out of a sock.
Okay.
But the trouble with that is that if you've got socks with a very visible kind of change of colour at the heel or something, that looks very odd at the mouth.
It can be a bit snazzy. It can make a statement, maybe.
But, I mean, why do governments... I've been watching this this documentary on Netflix this week called The Bomb. And it was originally a sort of art installation, one of those sort of... It's a film, but they call it art installation. I never understand that bullshit. But it's got just loads of visuals about nuclear warfare, and it's all set to music. But it's educational as well. You learn a lot about it. But some of the government advice is about, you know, if there's a nuclear attack. They got all this government stuff from the States. Like, what was it? Duck and dive, I think they called it. Like, that's going to save you in a nuclear attack. You know, they had pictures of kids running under the desk at school. That's not going to save you.
Just go stand in the doorway.
Yeah.
No, that's earthquakes you're thinking of, Matt.
Oh, that's earthquakes, yeah.
But wasn't there a thing like in the 80s? What was that thing called? That it was a famous thing about nuclear attacks, wasn't it? It's Protect and Survive or something it was called, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the 80s the same as you, Trevor, and I remember we were always sort of fearful of the Cold War and a nuclear attack.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember the...
Happy days.
What was worse, that or this?
I don't know, to be honest, Ben.
Do you remember When the Wind Blows?
No, I don't. What was that?
So Raymond Briggs, right, who created the snowman and Father Christmas and Fungus the Bogeyman, he created this book called When the Wind Blows.
I'll just say, for anyone who was born past 1988, I apologise for this.
Are you just zoning out, Ben?
Yeah, fuck you.
No idea.
Fuck you, you millennials.
Yeah, bloody kids.
Yeah, we come from where life was real, mate. So we had this thing, When the Wind Blows. Now, because it was by Raymond Briggs, I wanted it. So I think I had a book voucher for my birthday or something. So I got it. Scared the living shit out of my mum. My mum had to take it back. Because it was about a nuclear war, and then they made a film out of it, which is a fantastic film. But it was all the shit that you were told, like, if there's a nuclear attack, just, you know, basically put some doors up at an angle against your wall and a mattress in there, take your supplies in, and you survive. And of course, it's this old couple that, well, they die in the end, spoiler alert. But
I was going to read that. I was going to look it up.
Trev.
Oh, well, you mate, bloody read it.
No, read it if you like, but they die in the end. But it's good.
Actually, I won't.
It's a cracking story, but scared the shit out of me. I remember vividly sitting at the dining room table reading it on a Friday night, and someone posted a leaflet through the door. Scared the shit out of me. I thought someone was posting a bomb through the door or something. I burst into tears. And, yeah, my mum had to take the book back.
God, we've gone down quite a dark avenue here.
Scary stuff.
Already.
Scary stuff.
That is quite scary. But what I must add about the face masks, I completely get why we should wear them, and it kind of gives a sense of social, I don't know, what's the word?
Responsibility.
I guess responsibility. Thank you, yeah. And I suppose you feel... It, you know, some people are saying it stops you from touching your mouth, and obviously it can stop if you're infected and you don't know, you can stop the droplets and things like that. So I'm not saying you shouldn't wear them, but I don't want to wear them unless I absolutely have to, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, just when you're out and about, innit? You know, you don't need to wear them. I mean, I think Ben, do you wear yours in the house now that you've got used to it and you quite enjoy wearing it?
No, I don't wear it in the house.
Does Mrs. Ben, when you're talking too much, does Mrs. Ben say, put the fucking mask on?
Some of them have got some quite interesting designs on them as well, I've seen on the website.
Yeah, see, this is the other thing. This is a sign of our times, isn't it? That they become a fashion item.
I must admit, I was tempted, because mine's quite plain. I was thinking about trying to jazz it up in some way. I didn't know if, you know, like a mouse nose and whiskers, that didn't feel very original. So, I don't know. What would you do to jazz up your face mask?
I would probably just make it a bit colourful, maybe. A lot of people are making political statements on them. There's one that just says, like, fuck Boris or something on the front. That is quite bold.
You know, forgetting who the politician was you were aiming it at, if you went out with the word fuck written on your face mask, would you be arrested for that?
On what grounds?
On what grounds, yeah.
Well, if I was walking down the street screaming fuck, I'd probably be arrested.
You get locked up.
So what's the difference?
Well, I suppose it depends on whether it's in capital letters or not.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, if you're shouting
lowercase, I'm fine.
Yeah, if it's lowercase, it's fine.
I mean, I've just seen one now on the internet, and it's like a skeleton's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the bones and all that. That looks...
Oh, you'll scare small children, though.
Well, you would.
I think Timmy Mallett is creating some of his own
reference.
He's creating some of his own face mask as well, with his little doodles and stuff on. That's the sort of one I'd wear.
Is it?
Or one with like a little mallet's mallet on the front.
Yeah, that's not a bad shell. Yeah, I have to be honest, I've not really thought about it. I need to my mate said he'd make one for me, because he's made a couple for himself. He said, oh, I'll make you one, so we'll see what that turns out like.
A friend of mine just drew, presumably with lipstick from the picture I've seen, just a big smile on the front of hers. And I mean, as much as I love this person, I think if I saw that coming towards me, I'd just think, nutcase, and steer well clear.
Cross the road. Because
that's the other thing. I think it's like anything, isn't it? It's a statement of who you are. And you can always tell the nutcases, you know. And if you've got a nutter's face mask on, if you're nutty, you're going to turn your face mask into something nutty.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. You're just extending that nuttiness, aren't you? And
yeah,
but just putting it out there,
you know, it's like old ladies who put like bells on their shopping trolleys, that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? They put bells on their face mask, which I've
never seen.
There's
bells on shopping trolleys. What's that?
Have you never seen bells on shopping trolleys?
No.
Oh, I've seen a couple in my time.
It's been a while since I've been in Croydon, I must admit. But what's going on?
Well, no, I've seen it a couple of times. Like, you hear a bell. You know, just little bells. I'm not talking like...
Not like, oh, yay!
Hear ye, hear ye. Matt, have you heard of this?
No, I'm sorry.
I'm not saying it's a widespread fashion thing again, you know, amongst the elderly. I'm just saying that it's something that I've seen.
Some mad old biddy that goes to your supermarket.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's like people at Christmas who put tinsel on their walking stick, that sort of thing.
Right.
Wacky. Yeah. Or at work in the office, you might put a bit of tinsel around the monitor or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, if this goes on till Christmas, you will see people with little bits of holly or mistletoe on their face.
Oh, dear God, yeah, they are.
You will, won't you?
There's going to be fairy lights. There'll be those little fairy lights on the face masks.
You know those ones that... Those fucking ridiculous things where people can put fairy lights... Or not fairy lights, because I don't think they light up, but baubles in their beard.
Yeah, exactly that, yeah.
Yeah. People will put little Christmas lights on their face masks. Although there's a business...
going to rumble on till Christmas?
Of course he's going to rumble on till Christmas.
What, this podcast?
God, the mistletoe farmers are going to be sweating, aren't they? Going to put them right out of business with all this social distancing.
Yeah, by then you'll be able to kiss six people within your bubble.
But only in the back garden. That's not a euphemism.
I tell you what we need to create for Christmas. I mean, it's good we're having this research and development meeting now.
Yes.
Is that some sort of prosthetic lips on a 2 meter stick. Self-moistening.
Oh, God.
So that you can kiss someone from a distance. You just sort of poke the... the stick with their lips on towards their face.
This is echoing back to you being sort of people avoiding you in the supermarkets. This is just going to... It's just getting weird. Just go, give us a kiss in the milk aisle.
It's all right, they're self-moistening.
Yeah, they're self-moistening.
You have a little... It's like a little trigger at the end of the stick that pumps out lubricant.
Oh, God. Please stop talking.
It's getting worse.
I tell you what, this is the sort of thing Alan Sugar would go for. You know, if I was on Dragon's Den like that, they'd be going, I'm in.
You're hired.
Yeah, I love a pair of lips on a stick.
Lubed lips.
Lubed lips. There's the name. Mary Lubmus is the...
Oh my God.
Trev, what have you done to our guest? Broken Matt.
Oh my God.
So obviously, Matt, we know you from the radio station that we all worked at a little while ago.
Yep.
And you went on to bigger and better things. And
we didn't.
We didn't. So I wanted to get your thoughts on a new radio station that's opening up in New Zealand, being set up by a radio legend Noel Edmonds.
No way. He's going back into radio, is he?
Well, he's made it clear that this isn't... He's basically retired, but he has set up this this radio station for for plants.
Is this a joke?
Okay.
No, this is absolutely true. It's kind of a new modern take on talking to your plants. You know, like Prince Charles or plants. And, you know, this is sort of a modern take on that. And he will play soothing music, also for cats and dogs that might want to hear some soothing music. But what he said was he's done some experiments, right, with two plants, one which had been neglected and one which was fine. And the one that had been neglected was played these... He said he plays them tones and it recovered.
Right, okay.
So I wondered whether when he said he plays tones, I wondered whether it was like he plays a bit of two-tone. Bit of the specials, bit of madness.
Yeah.
The plants love a bit of scar.
How litigious is Noel Edmonds, do we know?
Probably quite. So what do you want to say?
I think it's a great idea in that case.
great guy.
Deal or no guy. So why hasn't anyone thought of this over here? I mean, if he's going to launch this in New Zealand, what we should be doing is here. You know, all three of us got radio experience. Why don't we set up, you know, Plant FM...
Plant FM.
Yeah.
It's your germination station.
The germination station. There you go.
Brilliant. That's it.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
We didn't even plan it.
No, but it's making itself, isn't it?
Well, yeah. That's a great idea, though. I mean, if it actually works. I mean, is he going on the basis of sort of different vibrations and plants are... act on different frequencies to make
I guess
grow
I guess
like.
So yeah I don't have that much information on it except that he just plays these tones. I guess it's vibration, maybe that's it, maybe it's a vibration. Do plants react to vibrators?
I don't know. We could maybe get in one of your Christmas coronavirus moistening lip things and see what happens. Sorry, that's not a vibrator, is it? No.
I think I've got a tagline for the station.
Go on. Yeah.
The germination station, we feed your seed.
Ooh. Yeah. Well,
that's good.
I like it. Yeah.
I don't think it was met with total appreciation. I think it was met with more shock and horror.
That's great. I'm your guest. I'm being very polite.
I wonder what sort of... what sort of playlist we could have. Matt, you used to be in charge of the playlist at the radio
Supergrass.
Station. Supergrass.
Supergrass. That'd be a good one. And the green onions...
the green grass of home.
Very good.
You want a kiss from a rose?
No,
which is also the music I'm using on the advert for my lips, by the way.
Excellent.
Any other? There must be other tulips from Amsterdam. We can go a bit sort of old school.
I'm just trying to think of the plant songs. This
podcast has devolved now into us trying to think of flower puns for our fictional radio station.
What was that? What was that song that Radio 1 opened with? Flowers in the Rain.
Flowers in the Rain, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that for a plant inside, that's got to be kind of the dream, isn't it? Being outside in the rain.
Absolutely.
Because like, my plants in my house, because I'm not very good at looking after them, I know that when it's raining, they're almost clawing at the windows to get out.
Let me out.
This feels like something we should maybe throw open to Twitter. We should definitely ask people, if you've got any recommendations of flower or plant-based puns, send them to us at Trev and Ben on Twitter.
Okay, yeah, well, let's create a playlist.
Not puns, sorry, just a playlist for our fictional radio station. The germination station, we feed your seed.
What about, I'll give you flowers in the pouring rain, in brackets?
Yeah, that's good.
Someone's redone that. I heard it I listened to the radio earlier and that's been remade. It was like late 90s, wasn't it?
Yes. You know, the yes.
Sweet female attitude. Sorry, I've gone into full radio mode now. That's right.
We feed your seed.
All right. You're not letting this go, are you?
I'm not.
We've already vetoed the tagline.
Well, unless you come up with a better one.
Is that sort of the
seed will stick?
No, that's even worse.
I wonder why Noel Edmonds has not done this in the UK.
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, you'd have thought there'd be a market for it. I mean, Gardner's Question Time on Radio 4 is hugely listened to show, but I suppose that's more for the gardeners, not the plants.
I thought Noel Evans left the UK because he got all pissed off with journalists and he decided to flee the country.
You said that, mate. I don't know.
I'm not going to say anything. I don't know.
Oh, God. Trev, edit that out, please.
No, it's staying in. So, anyway, I think we've basically, if Noel needs help, we're here, aren't we, really?
Was it too late for me to say allegedly?
Well, I don't know what the time statute on allegedly is.
Neither do I.
I think we're all right on the internet, though, aren't we? It's only if we're going out on FM or DAB that we've...
I think you can still libel somebody.
Oh, yeah.
If Ofcom can't touch me, can they?
Oh, God.
Oh, Ofcom can't touch you, no.
No, exactly. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah. Fuck Ofcom.
You can say, fuck Ofcom. Never said that on the radio before.
Even though we've always wanted to. Even though, those ridiculous rules that they have. But that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Like, working in radio, it's such a bizarre industry, really, isn't it?
It really is. You've got to have a certain sort of mindset, really, to be in that industry. You know, it's a mixture of creatives and... You know, and then you've got... And
completely uncreatives.
Yeah.
Who normally run the place.
And completely unhinged as well. That's another element of it all. But it's a great place to work.
Was it something you always wanted to do, Matt? Like me? Like, were you, as a kid, were you doing the radio shows in your bedroom, that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I used to listen to my local BBC radio station, which was BBC Radio Solent.
Come from
the Isle of Wight. And there was a guy called Nick Girdler that did The Late Show. And this is when I was about 12. So I should have been asleep, really. But I was there listening to Nick Girdler at midnight doing his hand. He used to hand over to Radio 2, who would take the network. Anyway, it was getting a bit geeky now. But he was great because he would just do phone-ins and quizzes. And he was really sharp, quick-thinking guy. He's still around somewhere. But yeah, I always wanted to get into it. And then I kind of made a little studio in my bedroom. I guess like probably what you did as well, Trev.
I used to have a record player and a little tape machine. Two tape machines, because one to record what I was doing and the other to play some jingles in off a cassette.
And you always got these clicks in there as well, didn't you? The click, click.
And because I was only picking up... it was like a big old boom box that had the microphone built in. So even though when the records were playing off the record player, you could still hear me talk. I got mates round and I'd be like telling them what to do. And you'd hear me in the background going, now when the song finishes, you need to say this. So, yeah.
God knows. I think I actually threw my tapes away. I should have kept them really. But the thing is, when I was a kid, I had a terrible stammer when I was a kid, and I couldn't, same as my dad and his dad, actually. It's what has been passed down through the males in our family, and I had real trouble sort of chatting to my friends at school and all sorts of, you know, when I was really young. And so some of these first tapes when I was 12, I was just stammering. I mean, I think it would just be really cringeworthy to listen to it now.
I had no idea that stammering was hereditary.
Yeah, apparently so. I don't know if it is in all cases. So if I had a son, they would more than likely would have a stammer. But it's just something as I got older, I kind of just got more confident and I got over it. So when I got to be on the radio, it was almost like a massive kind of... a big thing, really. It was like an ambition that I always wanted to do, and then I did it. But there were times when I would stammer on the radio, like if I'm tired or nervous, or I remember I was interviewing the guy from 10cc once. The Graham, what's his name?
I don't know.
Oh my God, do you know the band 10cc?
I know the band.
Rubber Bullets. I mean, my dad used to, Graham Gorman, that's the guy, really nice bloke, but my dad used to listen to 10cc in the car, so I sort of grew up listening to his music. And then I was at a radio station, this is years ago, and the program controller wanted me to do the interview live, and I was saying, well, no, I'd rather record it and edit it. And he was pretty old school,
right,
sort of guy. You've got to do it live. So okay. And it was a bit of a mess because I was quite nervous and God knows what it sounded like, but I managed to sort of edit it, but it wasn't really bad. It probably sounded worse to me than it actually was. You know, I've just stumbled on a couple of words. But generally when I'm on the radio, I can hear my voice, and other people that stammer might sort of, you know what I'm talking about. If you can hear your own voice coming back through the headphones loudly, you're less likely to stammer. I don't know why. So I don't really do it so much these days as I get older and more comfortable. But every now and then, if I've got a phone call, somebody that I don't know, I'll start to stammer a bit, and it sort of takes me right back to being a 12-year-old again.
Oh, that must still feel like a real personal victory to go from having a stammer as a child to actually being a live radio presenter. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, absolutely, mate. It really is. And I suppose I don't sort of appreciate it so much now, like, because it's been... I started doing radio probably about 18 years ago. And sort of back then, it was quite a big thing. It was the first day, I was absolutely shitting myself. I was on a station called Arrow FM down in Hastings that's now More Radio. And the guy just stuck me on. Really nice bloke called Mike Buxton was the PC. He now works for BBC Radio Surrey. And he said, yeah, go on. You know, he'll sort of try me out, stick me on a Saturday morning. So I did the mid-morning show. The guy before me, lovely bloke, he could see I was nervous. I was shaking like a shitting dog. And I was really nervous, and I opened the mic, and I'd never experienced that before, and you both know what this is like. As soon as that mic's open and that light's on, you just kind of change, don't you? The vibe changes, and it's just like, okay, you know, I'm plugged into the Matrix or something. And then you just, yeah, and actually it's absolutely fine. But I was really nervous, but then I loved it, and I got the bug for it then, and I've sort of been doing it ever since, although not for a couple of years since I left the place where we worked together. I've not done radio, but yeah, I'd love to do it again sometime.
But you're right. I mean, it's a weird mix of I suppose, like any sort of first day in a job, but anything where you're, you know, performing to a degree, is that mix of fear, adrenaline, excitement. And Ben and I, we on the last radio station we were all at, we sort of opened the station and we recorded the first half hour or so. But when it came to that first live link, I mean, we had a technical issue, which at that radio station sort of wasn't a surprise. But but honestly, I was absolutely shitting myself. And I knew what I was going to say pretty much, didn't we, Ben? We'd sort of planned it.
Yeah, we worked it all out, yeah.
But man, it was terrifying. I mean, you knew that no one was really going to be listening either, because it was the first day of this new little station that no one had really heard of yet.
So, well, I remember, actually, it was Matt who saved our bacon.
It was Matt
time.
Who saved our bacon.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because then we had this... I never know what it was properly called, this thing, but we had this desk of buttons in front of us, for anyone listening, and basically I used to refer to it as the GoPad. I'm not sure what the hell the name was, but that's what I called it. And it had a big green button on it which said next, and you did your first live bit. We said our hellos, we did our thing, we're live on the radio, you hit next, nothing happens. Absolutely sod all. And I think Matt, who was sitting across the building in an office somewhere, who had virtual control of the desk, realised, shit, something should be happening, and managed to virtually play the next song and save our bacon. But it wasn't too bad, but I don't think anyone noticed. But thank God for you, Matt.
Well, I used to listen to that constantly, because obviously I was sort of, you know, doing the music and later on managing the sort of the content, really, and monitoring it, and we could control it from a different room, basically. So yeah, I must have just heard it go a bit quiet and just hit next. But I remember that first day really well, and I think you did your first link about 10 to the next hour, so you had like 45 minutes to record it.
That's,
I think.
Right, yeah.
And then oh, that was a very nerve. And I think, you know, because although not many people might not have been listening to that first day, we'd all built it up so much amongst us at the station that this is the big day. So I think it felt really huge, didn't it?
Yeah. We'd been building up since we launched in the April. We'd been building up since the January, certainly for me and Ben. You'd been there about a month or so before, I think. So, you know, we'd had 4 months of just planning this in our heads, waiting for that day. And when it came, it's like, shit, it's here.
And you're terrified. Like, you know, before I've worked at any new station, I'm just covering out or working out whatever. I wouldn't sleep the night before, and I'd be absolutely terrified, and it's awful. But then as soon as you go on, or for me, it's absolutely fine.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. And it is only really, like, I remember someone saying to me once, again, this is getting very radio anoraki, but it's true. A presenter earns their money when stuff goes wrong, because when stuff's working, it should all be smooth. But it's when you, like, if you press a button and nothing happens, and you've then got to film. My worst, well, we had a few bad experiences of that, didn't we, Ben? Where,
oh, we earned our money.
Things didn't work.
If that's the attitude, we earned our money.
But I remember being at another radio station. I was doing the Drive Time show. Again, it was a small station, and the station was sort of coming to the end of its life. It was being very badly run, and I was on air, and the computers all crashed. And
oh no!
Normally, there should have been some sort of CD or something in the studio that I could put in and play, at least play a track while everything got. No CD in the studio, nothing. So I just ended up talking and talking and talking, thinking, well, someone's going to run in a minute. Someone must hear that I'm struggling a little bit here. Nothing. Nobody came. I think I talked for about 9 minutes.
Oh no!
About all kinds of just bullshit, just absolute bullshit. And in the end, it was like one of those things where all professionalism went out the window, and I just went, right, I've got nothing else to say.
I'm done.
Nothing's working. So somebody needs to come in and sort this out and save me. And luckily someone ran in with a CD. It was like, meant that was terrifying, because I just kept watching the clock go, thinking, well, I've talked for 5 minutes, but I don't really know what else I'm going to do. I fuck knows what I talked about.
But I do remember that happening to us once, Trev, on the breakfast show. But at least I had you to talk to.
Yes.
And we could kill time amongst ourselves. I think we ended up whistling for a while.
Quite possibly. I think that was our best link we ever did.
But that, there's that awful feeling of when it's all gone wrong. And like you said, you talk for 9 minutes. I mean, in radio terms, that is like almost 2 hours, you know, because the stations that we would have both worked on in the past, and yourself, Ben, as well, like stations where a 90-second link is like, Christ, that's a massive. Oh, I've got to fill 90 seconds, and it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah,
you think, well, that's not long, but actually, in some commercial radio formats, like a music radio station where it's heavily just music, 90 seconds is actually quite a long time. But if something goes wrong and you're talking for 9 minutes, that's just insane.
I do once remember me and Trev did 27 minutes on
Printer cartridges.
Yeah, printer cartridges on our hospital radio show. a link so bad that the recording machine just gave up the ghost, corrupted everything, just said, no one should ever hear that ever again. That's gone.
Now, one thing we've been doing on the podcast during lockdown, Matt, is a game every week.
Yes, I heard you the other week with Andy Stevens.
Yeah, well, what game did we do with Andy? Was that the humming
game? The humming game.
Yeah.
God.
Did you get Brown Eyed Girl, by the way?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ben, I don't think Ben loved it, though. He didn't seem to be that impressed.
He doesn't like games.
I don't like your games. I love games. Fucking I don't like hell. Your games.
My games. We played some brilliant games. I mean, there once was a skunk, still one of my favourites, and you fucking hated it. So anyway, so I thought what we do is, while we've got you on, because last week we revived Beat the Cheat, which we used to do on the radio, we thought we'd revive, I think we used to call it The Impossible Question.
Oh, yes. I remember now, this.
People who may have heard us on the radio may have not realised that Matt played the gaffer.
The worst kept secret in radio.
And the gaffer was basically a very miserable person who would ask these impossible questions. So we thought, if you wouldn't mind, Matt, bringing the gaffer back to life.
I'll go and see if I can find him. I think he moved away to... Did he go to Vegas, or where did he go?
Was it Florida, Ben?
I am horrified that you can't remember this, Matt. I sent you to Florida.
He won the lottery, didn't
you remember
didn't
the
he?
Script meeting?
Didn't he win the lottery?
Yeah, I do. Sorry, Ben. He did, yeah.
His final questions, what has seven balls and flies? And it was... I do. Six numbers in the bonus ball. I'm off to Florida. Oh, it was amazing.
And then the police were outside.
A time when they wanted to we were not behind us at all. They wanted to replace you, the British gaffer, with an Aussie gaffer.
The bastards.
And it was like, well, what was the point? I couldn't never understand what the thinking was behind that. The other weird thing they made us do was put echo on your voice, which made no sense, because the idea was that you were you know, supposedly a boss in an office, or at the time, I suppose, building site, because we were there for builders. It's like, it needs echo on it. It's like, pointless. I'm not going to put echo on you. No echo.
I remember the original meetings about this, and I think it was something like, I was going to be like the voice of God or something like that. So I think that's right. Where that may have came from. But then obviously I morphed into a gaffer, but you're not going to have a gaffer God. Well, maybe there is a gaffer God. I don't know, that all builders pray to.
Yeah. Matt, you will forever be my gaffer God. That was one of my fondest things to do.
I said that to this before, Ben, but I used to love it. I'd be so busy doing stuff in the office, and I get to go and spend like half an hour with Ben in the studio just
pissing about recording
these gaffer bits for you to use in your show.
And so those much, are stuff we couldn't use as well.
So much fun.
The best bits.
I dread to think. It's Robert Mugabe.
That's one of my highlights, one of the ones that never made the air.
So it's the gaffer there.
These bloody idiots. It's over here, Gaffer. Just got to bring him in. I don't know why. Apparently, he was here already. Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Bloody goons.
Yes, it's been a while. How's Florida?
Bloody hot.
You chose to go there.
Oh, whatever. Sorry, he's really horrible now, isn't he?
Yeah,
he always was.
Yeah, but he's got even worse. It's been in the States.
What happened to Mrs. Gaffer? Sorry, I'm asking you questions. You're trying to ask him questions.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes. Well, how is Mrs. Gaffer? Is she there as well?
No. She ran off with a Mexican.
Is that because you forgot how to do the voice?
Yes. Hello. What was it?
That was it.
I'm
here, Ron.
It's Ron. Ron Gaffer. I forgot his first name. Ron Gaffer.
It's all come flooding back.
I'd love to think there's some real diehard fans of your old breakfast show. And it was a great breakfast show. I'd love to think that there are people that are... we're loving this.
I hope so. It's a blast from the past. How's the state, Gaffer? Are you a Trump file?
Yes.
Oh, you like Trump, yeah?
What a great guy. He's clearing the swamp, Trevor. He's clearing the swamp. He's making it great again, can't you see?
It does. From a distance, it doesn't look like that.
Yes, well, that's the sort of thing he would normally say. Yes, well.
So Gaffer, you got some impossible questions for us?
Yes, I've been preparing them for minutes. Okay, my first question is, a doctor and a bus driver are both in love with the same woman, an attractive girl named Sarah. The bus driver had to go on a long bus trip this is the point where Ben would say, can you just do that again? A doctor and a bus driver are both in love with the same woman, an attractive girl named Sarah. The bus driver had to go on a long bus trip that would last a week. Where the fuck is he going? Before he left, he gave Sarah 7 apples. Why? The gap has got a bit weird, sorry.
Yes, it's got a bit senile.
Yeah, it's the heat.
Why? It's the heat.
cooked his brain a little bit. Gaffer. 7 apples. Gave them 7 apples. I should have written this down.
What were the professions again? Bus driver and what?
Do you want me to do it in my voice so I can help the gaffer out?
Mrs. Gaffer. Maybe Mrs. Gaffer could.
Oh, yes.
Could repeat.
Hello,
the
Trevor.
Question. Hello, Mrs. Gaffer.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you here.
Yes.
Yes. A doctor and a bus driver are both in love with the same woman, an attractive girl named Sarah. The bus driver had to go on a long bus trip that would last a week. Oh, that's a long way. Before he left, he gave Sarah 7 apples. Why?
So, Ben...
Get out, Pauline, you stupid...
I'm absolutely stumped.
What a weird riddle.
It's a very odd riddle. Right, so 7 apples to Susie. The bus driver goes off... Oh, I've got it. It's easy. It's easy, Ben.
What, you bloody idiots?
It's easy. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. He goes on the bus journey 7 days a week, 7 apples. The doctor can fucking do one. every day.
You're correct.
Oh, I sort of understand now.
What do you mean you sort of understand?
I think I went down this weird route in my own mind, which proved to be completely wrong, and it was throwing me off the scent.
Okay, right. Let's do number two.
What room do ghosts avoid?
What room do ghosts avoid?
Now, what room do ghosts avoid? I'll do exactly the same as if you're hitting play again, like in the old days.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, listeners, I wasn't there at that time of the morning.
Now, this sounds more like a Christmas cracker joke than it does a riddle.
Yeah. What room do ghosts avoid? It's got to be like, I don't know.
God, I'm out of practice with these. Mind you, I used to write them initially. Right. So it was never a puzzle to me.
You've ruined it.
Don't say that, because we used to pretend we didn't know the answers.
Yeah. Another lie.
I don't know this, Ben.
Oh, it's going to be a pun, isn't it? It's going to be a dreadful Christmas cracker pun.
Like the... You'll bloody kick yourself when you hear this.
It's got to be like the...
What room do ghosts avoid?
I mean, there's not many rooms in a house, Ben. Come on, there's kitchen.
Bathroom.
The living room.
The living room. Oh, that's got to be it. The living room.
The living room.
Oh, hey! I'm on fire here.
Well done.
Right. Should we do it? Let's do one more for now. We'll come back and do some more later. Let's do one more.
Okay, number three. A man wanted to enter an exclusive club but did not know the password that was required. He waited by the door and listened. A club member knocked on the door, and the doorman said, 12. The member replied, 6, and was let in. A second member came to the door, and the doorman said, 6. The member replied, 3, and was let in. The man thought he had heard enough and walked up to the door. The doorman said, 10, and the man replied, 5, and was not let in. What should he have said?
Right, so the first
blown my theory out of the water.
12 and 6, then it was 6 and 3, wasn't it?
Yes.
So...
Sorry, that just reminded me of hitting a hotkey with the gaffer saying, yes.
That's what I'm trying to emulate it. You bloody fools!
10. So 10...
The obvious line of thought there was it was going to be divide by 2.
Yeah, but it's clearly not. Is it? No. It's more than that, Ben. So it's the first member...
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, go on.
Shit, I know the answer.
Oh, go on.
Fuck.
No. The answer, fuck.
No.
Trev, this is really important. I'm struggling and I need to
okay.
Speak while I can. Help.
Calm down.
Right. Bear with me.
Yeah.
So, if you think about it, 12.
Yeah.
What's opposite 12 on an analog clock?
6.
What's opposite...
It all falls apart a bit, isn't it?
Fuck.
Because...
I got so excited then.
You fucked it. That's like the ones that we couldn't play out.
I mean, if you follow that theory, so what was it? It was 6 and 3.
I was going to say, what was opposite 10 on an analog clock? But my theory falls apart because 6 isn't opposite 3.
I think we're going to have to throw in the towel here, Ben. I've no idea.
All right, this is one of those days when the gaffer would win. So, gaffer, what's the answer?
3. The doorman lets in those who answer with the number of letters in the word the doorman says.
Oh, I would have been here all day.
Never have got that.
Just fuck off, the pair of you.
How have you been sleeping during lockdown, you two?
Well, Ben keeps snoring, so...
Sorry. Ah, the Sorry, identity Matt. Of Mrs. Oh, Ben God, finally yeah, revealed.
Yeah. Not a bit weird, to be honest. Sleeping a bit strange, pretty lightly, I would guess. Some days I've been staying up quite... No, my dog's going mental. Let me just...
That's all right.
I've got to see what she's doing. Hang on.
Oh, I think people will be quite pleased, really, because we've all been looking forward to the pigeon that hasn't materialised.
Yeah, so the pigeon's been a great disappointment.
The dog showing up is great.
Yeah, no, it's much better to have a dog going. The pigeon, I think the pigeon's fucked off now, Ben. I think it's...
Sorry, can I take my dog out for a piss quickly?
Yeah, cool.
I do apologise. Oh, she's just going to... She won't shut up otherwise.
Is the dog all right, Matt?
Yeah, the dog's fine. Yeah, she's got to go.
She's got to go, yeah.
And I don't want her to go on the carpet, so...
No, because it smells then, doesn't it?
Disgusting, yeah. She's only a puppy, so she's just kind of getting used to it, but yeah, so...
Because your dog occasionally goes on the carpet, doesn't it, Ben?
Yeah, we had an accident the other day, but that's she's not a puppy, I'm afraid. She's a very elderly old thing, and sometimes she just can't quite get to the door in time.
Yeah. Well, we all know that stinks. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So we were just talking about sleep. So it's a weird thing, I think, in the lockdown, where I have some nights where I don't sleep well at all, and then there's some nights where I'm sleeping... It's like for much longer than I normally would, and having really weird dreams. Are any of you dreaming more?
Yeah, definitely. Are you? Weird dreams.
Yeah, strange ones.
Yes, and there was a report out this week that said that's been a common theme, that people have been having weirder dreams.
Did they say why? Yeah. Why is that? Do they know? Can they draw something to conclusion with that?
I mean, I'd guess, as a layman, it might be just the shock of living through the apocalypse.
It could be that, yeah. It being illegal to go outside and... See any more of five more of your friends at the same time.
I really enjoyed Charlie Brooker's antiviral wipe.
Oh, wasn't that good?
It was stunning. Absolutely brilliant. But I kind of felt this makes his job a little bit harder when reality is closer to an episode of Black Mirror than anything he could write.
Funny enough, did you see that? Is it in Spain or Portugal or somewhere? They've created a sort of, I don't know if it's on the side of a bus stop, but an advert for... I don't know if it's actually for a new Black Mirror series. I think it's just been made to make a point. And people can see themselves in the advert. So it is like a Black Mirror.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just sort of doing everything that it says. You know, we're all doing it, aren't we? The Black Mirror thing. It's so near to reality. It's frightening.
It really is. It's very strange at times. But yeah, those dreams are very strange. It might be something to do with light sleeping, because I'll wake up in the night, and then when you sort of go back into sleep again, you don't quite sleep as deeply, and then I think that's when the weird dreams happen.
Do you remember your dreams?
Sometimes I do, yeah. I wake up and I think, Christ, thank God that's not real.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the time I'm waking up at the moment going, oh God, it's all still real.
So, I have absolutely no idea at the moment what day it is when I wake up. Really have to think hard about what day it is and what I've got to do.
Yeah, it's very strange. Oh, it's Sunday. Christ, I thought it was Tuesday. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
But you see, here's a weird thing. So a few weeks back, I had a bit of a fever. I think this was way before we got into the COVID-19 era. So I just had a bit of a flu-y thing. Do you remember, Ben? And I was doing a bit of sleep talking.
I do remember, yeah. How's that gone?
Well, see, at that time, because I was waking myself up by shouting, so I started to record the nights, and we had a bit of bits and pieces, didn't we, Ben, that we discovered?
Yeah.
And then I stopped doing it because I got over the fever, and all the app was... exposing was what a fucking noisy snorer I am. By the way, do you talk in your sleep, Matt? Do you know?
I don't know, and I have actually asked my other half, and apparently I don't. Certainly that he's noticed anyway. But what I do, and what I used to do, is text in my sleep. I would reply to text messages in my sleep, which is really, really odd, and I don't know how this even is a thing. I've actually looked it up, and it is a thing. So now I turn my phone off every night, because I would just see sent messages that I'd reply, and some of it was sort of made sense. So I don't really know how that works. It's a bit odd.
So they weren't abusive? You weren't sort of sending abusive texts?
Not that I'm aware of. Not. It's almost like I woke up subconsciously enough to read and reply to a message properly. It's really strange.
So here's a weird thing that happened to me this week, which then led me to setting up the app again. So on Wednesday night, I woke myself up singing I Vow to Thee My Country.
Oh my God.
What?
Yes. So Wednesday night. I was in bed and I woke up going, I vow to thee my country. So really going for it. So I thought I better set the app up. And then, well, Thursday night, all I can say, it was spectacular. Do you want to hear some bits from the night's recording?
Please. Oh, can't wait.
There was a little bit more singing, but I don't think you can really tell what I'm singing, but you might be able to, perhaps one of you can work out the tune. Okay, here we go. There we go.
Oh my god.
Wow. That's weird.
That is weird. And that is genuinely you actually.
Genuinely, all of what I'm gonna play you is genuinely stuff that came out of my mouth while I was asleep.
Oh, you've taken the humming game to a wild new level.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, is this Brown Eyed Girl? But it doesn't sound like it to me.
No, what's the song they sing before the FA Cup final every year?
Well, Abide With Me. Is it Abide With Me?
That sounded a touch like that to me. or maybe a bit Emmanuel, maybe?
Isn't it like... It's all like Last Night of the Proms themed. Yeah. So it's like there'll always be an England. I don't know what song that is.
Because the end, I think, is almost a bit national anthem. Like, God,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just doing the national anthem.
Very patriotic.
Very patriotic.
But then the night kind of took a little bit of a turn. I can only apologise for the language.
Oh God!
That I use in my sleep, but this was one little bit of the evening.
Oh yeah, when you have a fucking cunt. Yeah, you must actually, because it's not fair. Because your photographs need to develop.
You've got to get the photographs developed.
God, this is hilarious. Wow.
I then become a little bit more conciliatory in my approach.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So I've got the photos done. It then takes a little bit of a turn for the worse.
Yeah, right, you fuck.
I'm amazed you got the photos developed after the language you used in the shop.
Thrown out of boots for that. Get out.
Then, you know, things were seemed to be going on all right.
Yeah, I can't remember now. And I think she's sort of... I don't know. Not good.
Then, again, things take a little turn for the worse.
Yeah. That's it. Every time. You can't.
You bandy the C word about in your sleep like nobody's business.
No.
Have you always talked in your sleep, do you know,
no.
Trevor?
No. This is quite a new thing.
New thing.
I've certainly not really been aware of it. And then the night ended. I can only assume that I'm actually having a fight now. In the sleep. This was really the culmination of the whole argument.
Yes, fuck it. Fuck off.
That's amazing.
This is so good.
The most aggressive sleeper.
The following night, nothing.
Well, it reminds me of when my dog's sleeping and you can just, she's having like something terrible's going, making all these noises, and it's like the equivalent of you saying, oh, fuck off, you cunts.
How about one more round with the gaffer before we finish up, Ben?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, Matt, is the gaffer still up for a few more riddles?
Oh, I'm here and I'm on mic, as you say in radio.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, you learned some stuff from us. You learned some of the radio lingo.
Yes. Oh, yes. that's it.
Is Mrs. Gaffer still around?
No.
Oh.
No, she had to go.
Oh.
Is it best not to ask?
Yes.
Right, so...
I'll bloody kill him. I'll bloody kill him.
So what about a couple more riddles? You got any more for us?
Okay. If a rooster laid a brown egg and a white egg, what kind of chicks would hatch?
I've got this one in the bag, Trent.
Have you?
Yep.
Go on,
roosters don't lay eggs.
Oh, it's as easy as that, isn't it?
You're right. Roosters don't lay eggs. Okay, this one's a bit more complicated. A pregnant lady named her children Dominique, Regis, Michelle, Fawn, Sophie, and Lara. What will she name her next child? Jessica, Kate, Abby, or Tilly?
Sorry, the gaffer's gone really angry. Gaff, you need to chill out a bit.
Yeah, just chill out, mate. I mean, if you know about microphone technique, it's all gone out the window there, gaffer. You're distorting all over the shop, mate.
Ah, bloody kill him!
His missus run off with a Mexican.
So, right, can you just give us the names again, gaffer?
A pregnant lady named her children Dominique, Regis, Michelle, Fawn, F-A-W-N, Sophie, and Lara. What will she name her next child? Jessica, Katie, Abby, or Tilly?
Any thoughts here, Ben?
Yeah, could you just read out the initials of the first names, Trev, if you've...
Yeah, I've wrote them down. So it's D-R-M-F-S-L. So don't make a word. Which is what I was hoping for. I thought maybe months.
I was staring at my keyboard here, thinking, is he following the letters of the keyboard?
Oh, yeah. Is he?
No, he's not. No. It's all over the shop.
I don't know.
I honestly I'm stumped by this one.
I mean, at least we can just throw a name out there and we might get the right answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was there anything in the setup of the question that... implies she...
Can we have the question again, Gaffer? Is that... Are we pushing our luck a little bit here?
A pregnant lady named her children Dominique, Regis, Michelle, Fawn, Sophie, and Lara. What will she name her next child? Jessica, Katie, Abby, or Tilly?
I really have no idea, Trev.
No.
We've got a 1 in 4 shout, I guess.
Well, let's go... it seems wrong just shouting a random guess without working it out, doesn't it?
It does, but I'm quite competitive and I do like to win regardless of if it's a lucky shot or a, you know, concerted effort.
All right, well, pick one then. Pick one.
Tilly.
Tilly.
Tilly, you're right. She seems to follow the scale. Do, re, me, fa, so, lo, and then T.
I should have known that because I was probably doing that in my sleep.
You probably were.
Right, yeah, let's do one more for the road. Come on.
Oh,
yes,
God, you're going back to sleep again.
Oh, hang on.
What's going on? Trev's gone to bed.
I managed to
hit... See you, Trev.
I hawked him again.
You fucking cunt.
What's all that noise, by the way? Sorry, is that the dog again?
Yeah, it's the dog again. She's...
What's the dog doing? Is Mrs. Gaffer actually been mauled to
death? She's got sort of gaffer tape round her.
Ron, stop it!
It would be gaffer tape.
Yeah, of course it would.
I've actually got some gaffer tape. Not for that reason, but...
You're not gaffer taping the dog up.
Yeah, exactly. That'll bloody learn, huh?
Yeah.
Call the RSPCA.
He said it was a puppy. You've got to train him. Do you know what I mean? Little bit of gaffer. They used to do that in school. Right, my great aunt, right, who was at school in the late 20s and early 30s.
Wow.
They, because she was a chatterbox in class, they basically gaffered her mouth up and then tied a false tongue on her face to humiliate her for being a talker in class.
Ah, the good old days of child abuse.
So, you know, I mean, you've got to learn. Yeah, this dog's got to learn a bit of basic discipline.
I've actually just put her over on her bed and hope she'll stay there.
I've shot her.
No, I don't contain animal cruelty at all.
No, but earlier you wanted me to start a fire to burn the fucking pigeon.
The pigeon's out there. Trev said to me, I've got a pigeon in my chimney. Oh, you should have started a fire. Apparently you said the same thing, Ben.
Oh, yes.
Just throwing you under the bus now, by the way.
Taking me down with you.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the old days.
All right, let's try another.
Okay, here's another one. The more you take away, the more I become. What am I?
The more you take away, the more I become.
That's a tricky one.
It feels like it should be easy.
The more you take away, Was it the more you take away, the more I become?
The more you take away, the more I become. What am I?
What about this, Trevor, as an idea?
Yeah.
If you take a lot of time over something, so you've taken time.
Oh, yeah.
Then the more time has been used, so the more time exists because you've taken more time. Does that make any sense?
Not really, mate.
Oh, fuck off then.
Well...
I'm just thinking out loud. You haven't got anything.
Well, I mean, the more, what is it? The more I take away, the less I take away, the more I become. What was it?
The more you take away, the less I become.
The more you take away, the less I become. I mean, time could work, you know,
No, according to you, doesn't
yeah,
work.
Yeah, no, I still think it's bullshit. I was just trying to justify your thinking.
Have you got anything better, smart ass?
No, not really. Air? No.
The more air you take away, the more air becomes. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, I don't know. Money?
Yeah, the more you spend, the richer you get. That works.
Well, it seems to be working for tourists. bit of satire there. Bit of satire.
They bloody defaced Churchill now.
I don't know this. I don't know. We're having a right failure here, Ben.
The more you take away, the more I become.
Yeah, come on. We can do this.
Come on, you blathering idiots.
The more I take away...
You see what I mean, though? My example stands up because this is going on and on and on now.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, okay.
And the more time we're taking to solve this, the more time is being added onto our podcast. So I stand by my answer of time.
Well, let's do it. I've got nothing better. Time.
And the answer is a hole.
Oh, that does make perfect sense.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Shit.
Well, it was lovely to speak to you again after all these years.
Yes, it's been lovely to have you back, Gaffer. Wait, are you going back to Florida now? What's your plans?
Yes. Well, I might be going via Mexico.
We're building walls.
Yes, I've got a big contract down there. He's a wonderful, wonderful man, Mr. President. Draining the swamp.
So before we end, I just wanted to run a little story I found in the news by you both, because it is an astonishing story.
Okay.
I hope you haven't stumbled across this already, but the story goes, there was a man in Australia, and this was on Sky News recently, who has basically run into a little bit of awkwardness, I think is the best way we can put it. He had a slight fetish. And
this is one of those things, isn't it, Matt? Where it's, I've heard about this man who's got a fetish.
Oh, this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, my friend's got a
friend
problem
of mine.
With his cock.
So basically, this guy's thing, what rocked this guy's...
In English? Or?
What rocked this guy's boat was he wanted to get two blokes who he paid for on the internet to come to his house... Surprise him, so you don't get to know when they're going to arrive at the house. You don't know, it's going to be a complete surprise. Then he wanted them to tie him up with force,
right?
Take his clothes off, except his underpants,
right?
And tickle his area,
his ivories,
shall we say. Tickle his ivories with a broom.
Wow, I mean, that's a very specific fetish, isn't it? You know, some people, it's just like leather in general, or, you know, or fruit.
But this lubricated lipstick.
Lubricated lips.
Yes, well remembered, Matt.
But this is a very specific thing.
It is. And to be fair, I think, you know, live and let live.
Yeah.
If he wants to do that behind his own private... Closed doors.
It must be a very specific business you run as well to be the people that turn up and do that.
Well, there is a rule on the internet that if you can think of it, it already exists. So these two blokes kindly obliged, and they obliged to the conditions of surprising him at a time he wasn't going to be expecting. They were allowed to use props, so they brought along machetes. For a bit of added danger to the whole experience.
And when you said props, I was thinking like feather dusters or something, but no. Yeah.
A selection of brooms.
Yeah,
machetes.
Yeah. Different dustpan and brush.
Soft one, hard one.
Machete. So, and like I say, do what you want. You're not hurting anyone. until they turned up at the wrong address.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow.
These two blokes hid at 6:15 in the morning. They broke into someone's house, hid in the bathroom, and then ambushed someone with machetes. They didn't hurt them, I should stress. And they, thank God, very quickly realised they'd made a mistake.
I was going to say, like, how far into the process? Because imagine that, right? You've just got up at 6:15, you go in the bathroom, you've been apprehended, you've been pushed to the floor, you're thinking, fuck, what's going on?
I'm
going to
die.
Then they start tickling your balls with a brush. And actually,
it's not all right. Bad after all.
Yeah, yeah. If this is what being assaulted's like, I'm all for it.
Yeah, so the thing went to court as well. They were charged with breaking and entering, possession of deadly weapons, all sorts of things. And it, eventually, they were finally acquitted of all these crimes when the man who made the original request was able to testify that he had ordered them. And it was all a big balls up, for want of a better phrase.
That's
so,
pretty niche.
Thoughts?
Well... Where'd
I
you
don't
start?
Know what to say, really. Where'd you start? I mean, were they? I've got one question, I suppose. What sort of broom was it?
Everyone's mind.
Yeah, exactly. Was it? I'm just thinking about, you know, just for a friend, really.
But is it a garden broom?
Yeah, was it one of those really hard garden brooms?
Or an inside one?
Or a nice soft inside one?
I imagined a sort of outside patio brush when I read the story.
Wow, you see, because that's a weird. I mean. Because that could do some damage.
Serious damage.
You know, because you use that with force. I mean, I could remove moss from a concrete patio with one of them. I mean, that's not going to do your balls any good. Like, a little inside one, it's quite. That's sort of a tickle.
Yeah, you don't want to brush them off, do you?
No.
It's all gone. Lads, it's gone too far now.
Yeah, what's the safe word? Well, that's just about it for the Trevor and Ben podcast this week. Thanks very much for joining us, Matt. It's been absolutely brilliant having you back
on with
us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks very much for asking me. It's been an absolute blast. It just breaks up the lockdown, doesn't it? Thank you. It's been fun.
There's so much we didn't get to, so we'll get you back on at a later date, because we had all this list of stuff we were going to talk about, and we got bogged down in brushing bollocks and...
Sorry, I think that was my fault.
God. Well, I'd love to come back sometime.
All right, Matt, thanks very much, and well, that's just about it from us. Thanks very much for downloading and listening. You can get in touch with us anytime about absolutely anything. We wanted plant-based playlists. That's what we're after this week, isn't it?
Yes, we did. Yeah, that'd be great.
It's at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Good boy.